Money in the Bank.
Hey, podcast world, it's Angie back with another episode of Money in the Bank. With me this week, as always, I have Brett.
Hey, guys.
Just to mention something kind of exciting before I continue, somehow this past weekend we actually broke into the top 40 in the business category on iTunes podcast, which was super exciting for me to see. I just wanted to drop a quick line and say, you know, if you have an Apple device, so if you could just hop on and leave us a review. We don't really have any yet, and that's one way that we would be able to, like, keep that higher spot, and we would appreciate it. So moving on, the topic this week is how to save money in a big city. So, you know, a lot of times we give advice, and I've actually had a couple readers reach out to me, or listeners, not readers, a couple listeners reach out and say, hey, you know, like, this all sounds great, but I live in a big city and I can't do a garden, or I can't go to a strawberry field and, you know, pick my strawberries. So how can I save money while living in a big city? And something kind of maybe that a lot of people don't remember about Brett and I, but he actually lived in Chicago for about 3 years, right, Brett?
Yep, just over three.
And I lived there for about a year. So during that time, when I lived there for a year, I actually paid off my student loan debt. And while he was living there, he fully funded his IRA every year, his 401k, and saved an emergency fund, right?
And kind of overfunded the emergency fund. I'd been working on it for a while. I mean, it was since I was in high school, and even before I was in high school, I started putting kind of money into my savings account, turned that into an emergency fund, but then, you know, tried to calculate how to be super conservative and ended up trying to shoot for like $12,000, I think was my goal for my emergency fund, and I was still able to hit that while I was living in Chicago. So I contributed, you know, several thousand over that 3 year period into that just savings account, really.
Yeah. So, you know, it's pretty awesome, I guess, to hear that somebody can live in such a high cost of living area and save so much money. And so I just kind of want to pick your brain and offer up, you know, some things I have about how we did this. So I think one place to start is housing. Would you mind describing a little bit how you have found the apartment you found and how you set a budget for that whole process?
So yeah, in Chicago, they have several apartment finding services, and I think we talked about this before once on the podcast, but it's a nice service because you don't have to pay anything extra. They just take the first month's rent from whoever the owner of the actual building or actual unit is. So they get paid for that transaction. You don't have to take anything else over the top. They'll help you hunt. They'll help you find. They know where all the good deals are. They work with different apartment complexes and everything, and they know the market very well because they have an army of people that do this on a regular basis. So definitely take advantage of that. That's how I found mine. And I found a pretty reasonable place that was pretty cheap in the price range. I mean, the price ranges for the Lakeview area that I was looking to move to when I moved into that area was $999, so just shy of $1,000. And that was one of the cheaper ones that I saw that was still pretty nice. I had a glimpse of the water through my windows, and I was only about two blocks off of the lake of Lake Michigan, so right against the water there, so it was really close for me to walk to. So it was a great location, but you know, it didn't have any of the fine tweaks either. But I was definitely willing to pay more for the location and the great public transportation that I was close to. I was right on one of the major bus lines that jumped right on Lakeshore Drive to come downtown and stuff. So it was a great spot to be. But I, you know, my kitchen didn't have like granite countertops. I mean, it was like a whitewashed kitchen, basically. They painted all the walls white and all the cabinets were white and the fridge was white. And the only thing that went in the room that had any color was the sink that was silver. So that was not a great area to, or like room to be in, but you know, I didn't cook that much at the time. I do a lot more now. But I didn't need that amazing stuff because I was, you know, I was just going to be there and live in that location. And you know, jump downtown, go and enjoy the nightlife, go enjoy the city and the food and the restaurants and all that kind of thing. And I was just kind of living in my apartment.
Yeah. And kind of to piggyback on that, so I actually moved to Chicago, you know, 2 years after you. And rents had gone up quite a bit in that area by the time I was moving in. So you know, lived in a nice high rise. Your unit wasn't upgraded, but they were upgrading your building, other units, right? So
yeah, the lobby was fantastic. I mean, beautifully, yeah. Totally redone. Like the laundry room was nice. And yeah, we looked at some of the other apartments in that building, and they were like $300 or $400 more a month, and they were totally redone. Hardwood floors, brand new kitchens, brand new appliances, for like studios and one bedroom apartments. But I was just like, no, I'd rather have either the bigger apartment that I had or the cheaper rent, because yeah. over time, and I was there for 3 years in that apartment, and they never increased my rent. That's $300 a month that I saved for 3 years.
And that's exactly how you got your emergency fund of $12,000.
There you go. Yeah, there's several thousand dollars right there.
Well, no, like that's $12,000 over 3 years. Exactly. Right? Because $3,600 a year times three, you're right there. So that decision alone got you that $12,000 emergency fund just by not paying that extra $300. And I know when I was looking at apartments, it was kind of tempting because, especially by the time I moved to the area, you know, I wasn't quite as lucky as you. And I still ended up finding a place for $1,060, and I was a block away from you, but I was in like a three-story walk-up where you had, you know, a nice high-rise with a nice elevator and everything. But my, you know, the thing for me was I wanted to be in a safe area, and I knew your neighborhood was safe because we had been dating for a while and I felt very comfortable in that neighborhood.
You'd been there many times, yeah.
Yeah, so I, you know, I picked that area because I felt very comfortable there. I knew it was safe. So I was willing to pay, you know, a premium to live in that neighborhood. But literally, you know, I chose to pay $1,060 a month, where my apartment was clean and it was nice, but it was small and it was very, very dated, you know. Versus, like, I remember I found this place that was $1,500 and it was gorgeous. And it was like overlooking the park right by where we lived. And you could see like Michigan out the window. And I remember being like, well, maybe I should just, you know, jump up and like really experience city living at its finest, right? And it had floor to ceiling windows. Like, it was everything you want. And then I was like, no, you know, this is stupid. I'm trying to pay off my student loan debts. And that, you know, $440 a month will make a huge difference. So I think with housing, it's super easy to get carried away because you see these places and they're just gorgeous, right? And it's like, I would love to live here. But while you're like trying to save more money or while you're trying to pay down debt, just move into those cheaper places, because it kind of, I don't know, everybody has to start somewhere, you know?
Right. And I mean, that's the only disadvantage with using any of those apartment services, right? They get paid the commission of the rent. So the more expensive your rent is, the higher they get paid for that transaction, right? So they're going to show you someplace that's like $500 a month, that it has a leaky basement and the washer and dryer's in some detached building that's in some brick basement that's musty, and you have to go down there and across the courtyard to get to it in the winter. And you're right. And then they're going to be like, this is awful, right? And then they show you something that's like, you know, for an extra $500, like, you can get something that's amazing, right? And then that's how they sell a lot of people on that. So just be cautious of that. That's kind of the only pitfall. But it's easy when you're in that situation to be like, that extra couple hundred dollars a month would like really, really get me, you know, all the way there. But there's that middle ground, and just save like a couple more dollars. You don't have to get the worst thing. Do not get the worst thing, right? Leave that for somebody else.
Right. And you know, we always prioritize safety, you know, like, obviously, in Chicago, you could get a really cheap place, but it might not be the safest. And, you know, other things that you can do is find roommates. You know, Brett and I, we weren't at the point in our relationship quite yet where we wanted to move in together. But obviously, if we would have, we would have saved $500 a month each, yep. You know. So
and I had friends that lived there that had done roommates. And the best deals to do if you had dual income in the same unit was to get a two-bedroom apartment. They had the best values.
Yeah,
for the square footage and for the quality of the places.
But, you know, I would say for a single person, don't get that second bedroom.
Yeah,
Don't think you need a guest room. Don't think you need an office. Like, you can make it work in a smaller space. And honestly, this is something Brett and I have talked about a lot. Sometimes we feel like right now with our 1,700 square foot house, we have way too much house. Like, we don't even use half of it. So, you know, I think some people are like, I could never live in a 900 square foot apartment. I promise you, you can. You know, we both lived in what, 600, 700 square feet apartments.
And I had 12 people stay with me one time for New Year's Eve. Like,
that was kind of ridiculous.
We filled the floor full of beds.
You had a very large bedroom where you could actually fit like an L-shaped desk as well as a queen size bed.
And a blow-up mattress. And a full-size queen blow-up mattress we fit on the floor in there, too.
Yeah. So. And you had a very open dining room, living room. So, I mean, I loved your apartment. I when I moved out of Chicago, actually, it wasn't hard for me to leave my place. But, you know, I had been at Brett's place for a year before I moved to Chicago visiting so much. And then the year while I lived there, I was over there quite a bit. And it was hard to leave your place. Like, I remember being sad. I loved that. To this day, you know, with its white kitchen, like, I have the best memories of that place. You know, even though it wasn't the nicest, it was just like, it felt very homey, you know, it was a nice place, even though it wasn't updated. So, I will say, you know, if you look, you can find great places that you will get attached to and that you will love. And you know, another option, if you don't want roommates, look into studios. You know, there's so many cool designs out there now, and IKEA has done so much with, you know, bedroom dividers or studio dividers that you can really define the spaces and not feel like, you know, you're just living in one big room necessarily. And you can get a good deal on those places too.
Right. Or the Murphy beds are good too. I mean,
yeah
IKEA does some creative things, but the Murphy bed brand, which are the, you know, the secret beds that, like, you know, fold up into the wall or whatever. Those are pretty interesting as well in that space. So you can really do a lot of creative things.
This is making me so nostalgic for a big city.
So, sorry we talked about that one for so long, but that's the biggest bang for your buck, really. I mean, you're going to see the most return over time if you make the right choice up front and are living in the right location and the right means for what your financial gain or your financial situation is. But
yep.
There's several more on the list we have here.
All right. Well, let's move on because we talked about that one a lot. So next, you know, I kind of want to talk about food in general. So this will kind of split into two categories. We have groceries and we have restaurants. And let's just talk about groceries first. So when I moved to Chicago, I was still a vegetarian, which can save a ton of money right there because buying meat in the city was super expensive at grocery stores.
Whether at a restaurant or at a grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
But for us, you know, we bounced between grocery stores. There was a Jewel Osco nearby. There was a marketplace, like local grocery store nearby, and there was a Trader Joe's. And this was like kind of before Trader Joe's was so trendy. I mean, it was catching on, but it wasn't quite like everyone now. I feel like I know people that will drive from where I live like almost an hour and a half just to go shopping at Trader Joe's. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, I guess I don't get the appeal as much. But we shopped at Trader Joe's simply because they had the best prices that we could find in
the
area.
Yeah, it was close to us. It was between that and Jewel Osco were like kind of equidistant to us, but Trader Joe's had better products and, you know, a lot better prices and things like that.
And the marketplace grocery store was the closest to us, but it was way more expensive. So, you know, I would say if you're living in one of these areas, you know, kind of just look up like what are the grocery stores near me? And if I walk an extra block, can I save 20% of my grocery bill? That's probably totally worth it. And then, you know, one step further with groceries. So when I lived in Chicago, I didn't have a car, which we will talk about that decision more in a minute. But I did have Zipcar. So occasionally we would run out to like Costco or Meijer and do like a bigger stock up of, you know, frozen food or different things that we could buy there at a much cheaper price and put in our freezers.
Yeah, I wasn't eating like particularly amazing when I graduated from college and was living on my own there. So I was eating, you know, a couple hash browns a day or something from the frozen section of my freezer. But stocking up and having somebody come to city if you don't have a car is extremely beneficial because you can get things that last quite a long time, right? And you can do it in a healthy way, or you can do it very easily in an unhealthy way. Or a less healthy way, I'll say, right? And then you
right,
can make that
but
last a long
we
time.
We want to promote a healthy way. So, you know, I suggest, you know, if you go to Costco, you can get a pretty good deal on chicken there. And you can get a good deal on frozen fruits. So you can make, you know, smoothies for breakfast. And you can have chicken for dinner. And then you just need to pick up vegetables at the store, right? And those are going to be fairly inexpensive wherever you go. So, you know, that's a big thing. Just kind of getting the grocery situation figured out. And you know, it's funny because occasionally we would be at CVS and we would need to pick up groceries. And all the pharmacies in big cities, if you're not from a big city, like all the pharmacies like that have groceries. Like you can buy like fruits and vegetables and
yogurt
eggs and yogurt and milk, like everything there. It's like way more than here. But it's definitely the highest price too. So kind of get out of that habit and plan a little bit more and have the things on hand, because that'll just save you a lot of money.
Right. And so the other side of that is the delivery services for groceries now that are really prominent in big cities. That was, I mean, they only had like one, I think, when we...
Peapod, yeah.
Yeah, Peapod, when we moved out of there. And now I think there's a bunch, right? And it's all crowdsourced, and you can get things same-day delivery and all kinds of fun things now. And a lot of the grocery stores are doing it themselves, too, and providing services like that. So that comes with the associated fees, right? They're trying to make it more convenient. Maybe they're trying to get you to go there. If you have like a free trial and stuff and you want to try it out and they're giving you a deal on it, that's something to consider. But it's don't be afraid to walk to the grocery store to get things. And I was always, you know, trying to be a big baller and not take like a grocery cart or anything. I would only take my like grocery bags and like walk down the sidewalk. But I would buy like $100 worth of groceries and carry them back, and I don't know how many times, I think 4 times the bag handles broke, the bags
were so heavy. So are you saying you should have let me buy the grocery cart that my heart always desired?
No, I should have taken the bus more to get back.
Or buy a grocery cart. You can get them on Amazon for so cheap, and they're great. They're amazing.
Yeah, I think that is a very practical thing to do.
We would totally do that now.
I was just so afraid of like looking like a dummy, but they're like so useful, like so practical.
Now we're like an old married couple, and we would probably get like matching blinged out grocery carts. It would be the best. All right, well, I think we covered groceries pretty well. Let's flip that to eating out, because as we both know, we love to eat out in Chicago. That's what we did, right? But, you know, we didn't eat out all the time. I would say a big thing I did was I still tried to pack my lunch most of the time. So even though we like to go out to eat on weekends and stuff, it was more reserved for those special times. And when we did go out to eat, a lot of times we would split. So we wouldn't both get our own entree. We might just split a big one. Or, you know, if we were really hungry, we might do an appetizer and an entree. But
yeah, always. I think and maybe a dessert too. Or we'd just do an entree and a dessert. Something like that. That was always filling enough for us when we were there.
Right. And that actually ended up saving a lot of money, because entrees are where they, you know, that's way more expensive. So you can get like, you know, pickle chips for an appetizer, and they're like way not as expensive, you know, as another whatever main dish. So that's one thing too. And I would say if you aren't doing that, if you're getting two entrees, then you should probably be taking some home to have that second meal to really get like the bang for your buck. Because otherwise, if you're going out to eat all the time and always getting your own thing and always eating it all, like that just adds up so quickly in a big city where food is just more expensive.
Yeah, and especially where we were in Chicago, you don't have a lot of fast food options, which was good also for, you know, health benefit wise. But you're not just going out and just like getting a bunch of stuff and then just filling it out. You're usually going more to a restaurant or somewhere where you're sitting down to go get a meal, unless you're going to like, you know, Subway or something to pick something up, because those are a little bit more abundant, or like the little dirty Mexican shop that has like the best food. But
it's cheap and amazing.
Yeah, it's usually cheap and amazing. Most of the Asian places are pretty cheap and amazing. Like, even if they don't look great on the outside, like give it a chance, because it's usually like one of the better places to go if you've just been walking by somewhere.
Well, and I feel like there's always that like neighborhood Greek restaurant that has the gyros, like. If you're familiar with Lakeview, shout out to Yango's, because it's amazing. But, like, he would pile your gyro so high that you could just ask for a second pita, and we could literally both have our own gyro out of one. And so it was, it was, like, $8 for us both to have, like, the biggest gyros I've ever seen and a side of fries.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was just because he liked me, because I would always talk to him about the Cubs when I went in there, but he was just a great guy, really funny. He hated some customers, though. If you didn't get along with you, he'd like charge you extra for drinks and stuff. He's just a super funny guy. But he would just always give us like so much food. So it was great.
So I mean, there's a lot of takeout places that do have reasonable rates. So, you know, find those places, too. Don't just always go to like fine dining, fancy schmancy restaurants, because that's easy to do in Chicago, too. But there's also all these hole in the walls, like especially where we lived. It really wasn't that expensive to eat out up north where we lived, because it was like all these, you know, smaller ethnic type places that were really good, but, you know, more inexpensive. They kind of looked dumpy from the outside. Like Pick Me Up Cafe is another one I'm thinking of, that it was kind of a dumpy place from the outside. The wait staff like may or may not be nice to you, but the food was amazing and it wasn't that expensive.
Yeah, it's all either vegan or vegetarian food there. And for me, who is like a sole meat eater, basically, like there were a lot of things on that menu that I thought were very delicious.
Yeah.
Right? Like that grilled seitan sandwich, which is all fake meat, right, or whatever it is.
Oh, it's so good.
Was like mostly barbecue sauce and covered in cheese, and it was just like so delicious. Like,
yeah.
I don't care what it was.
So I guess regardless, you know, going out to eat, just kind of be smart about it. Another big thing when we went out to eat is we did very, very rarely, if ever, did we get alcoholic beverages because they're so expensive in a city. That's really their bread and butter most places. But up where we lived, there was also a lot of BYOB. So for $5, you could just, you know, bring your own bottle of wine and they would uncork it for you. Or, you know, where I was at that point in my life, they could twist off the cap for me. But I think, you know, like finding places like that, if you want to have drinks and you can bring your own six pack with you, is just, you're going to save a lot of money doing that too. Because buying a beer in Chicago is just so expensive.
Yeah, and do it when they have deals, right? Do it when they have happy hours. If you're going to drink, if you want to drink, then make it affordable. It's like having like a, depending on the restaurant you go to, just always having a glass of wine with dinner can be, you know, not necessarily the best financial decision because some places are just too expensive to get it.
For sure, yeah. So, and that's another good point with happy hours. You know, I used to go out with my coworkers to happy hours a lot, but we would strictly go for the happy hour specials, and then we would, like, you know, sit there and hang out and kind of disperse after that. You know, we would get our drink at the right time and then just hang out for a while and kind of disperse after that. So, you know, you can make it affordable to drink in cities, and it's, I'm not saying, like, never drink in a city, but you know, when you're going places and mixed drinks are running $15 a drink, you really shouldn't be ordering that for a casual dinner.
Right, because you can get two entrees at, like, some places, right? Like, that dirty Mexican place that's delicious, you could eat twice.
You could probably eat there 50 times. I mean, like, they have, like, 10-cent tacos on Tuesdays, so. Right. Anyways, I think we talked about, is there anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, there's one more topic on that, and it's around, maybe not drinking alcohol, but drinking, like, pop, basically, or soda, right? So that is one of the, whether you're grocery shopping or whether you're drinking, and I'm not telling you whether to do it because it's healthy or not, but from a financial perspective, if you can trick yourself to cut that out of your lifestyle, that is, again, one of the, and I say this, like, every time we have a podcast, it's, like, the single greatest thing that you can do to, like, help your financial situation is to, like, not drink pop anymore. Because that's one of the biggest things that's, like, technically a ripoff to you because it's, like, 80% water and the rest is, like, syrup and
high fructose corn syrup, yeah.
Yeah, and other, yeah, chemical cocktails of stuff. But, if you like it, like, whatever, I don't care. I'm not judging people, but it's an expensive thing. It costs them, like, nothing to produce. They're basically hosing you on every time you get a drink like that. And, you know, so that's why I stopped drinking pop, like, in middle school, I think, is when I, yeah, like, realized.
Stick it to the man,
I was just like, yeah, I was like, every time I'm at McDonald's or whatever I was getting, I was just like, I'm not getting this pop. This costs you 2 cents to make, and you're charging me, like, two, like, that was more than a dollar at that point. It was, like, almost $2 for, yeah, like, a large pop, and I was like, I am not gonna just give you,
well,
$1.98 profit.
Yeah, and that's a great point. That's something I would have never thought of. I was just never really a big pop drinker in my entire life, so when I go out to eat, I get a water with a lemon. And you know what? If you really miss that taste of pop, get a sparkling water with a lemon, right? I mean, dump some sugar packets in it if you need it to be sweeter. Ask for more lemon. Make your own lemonade, right? Like, I feel like if you can get away from, like, needing that, like, Diet Coke or whatever it is, like, that's huge because a lot of restaurants now are charging, like, $2.95 for that. And that adds up so quickly if you get it every single time you go out to eat, right? I mean, that's just as bad as, like, the coffee that we harp on all the time, so.
Yeah, and there's sometimes I go to the grocery store here, too, where I just, like, you see the guy walking around with his entire cart is just, like, nothing but wall-to-wall, like, cases of pop or Gatorade or, like, something like that. I'm just like, wow, you just spent, like, $80 on, like, what is in your cart right now. I'm like, I never have to ever spend that, and you do it probably once a month, something like that. I hope it's once a month, like, the volume that guy had.
Yeah.
Right, but.
But, yeah, so anyways, all right, I think we got groceries and going out to eat covered pretty well now. So the next topic I want to talk about was driving. So, you know, we're talking bigger cities here. You might live in mid-sized cities and you might need a car. This is more for, like, Chicago, New York, San Francisco type cities where public transportation is so good that you do not really need a car and should not really be using a car to get around. So, you know, for example, I lived in Chicago. I worked downtown Chicago. I worked 4 miles away from the office, and it would have taken me longer to drive there than it would to take the bus, likely, or equivalent, right? By the time I had found parking on both ends. And it was so much cheaper. So I didn't even bring a car with me. I used Zipcar when I needed it. And I just took public transportation. But it would have cost me $100 to park my car at my apartment, which was cheap.
That's a deal. Oh, for sure.
That, like, for where we lived, that was so cheap. But it would have cost me, like, $350 to park my car at work. And that was, like, the subsidized parking downtown Chicago price through my company, right? So do not, just don't take a car. Or if you really need a car, like, don't plan on driving it all the time, right? Like, don't drive to work every day. That's ridiculous. Don't think you're driving to the grocery store all the time. Walk. It's healthier, for one. The grocery store is not that far away, for two. And you're going to have to park on, you know, both ends. It's just a pain in the butt.
Right. And we're not talking about the suburbs. We're not talking about, like, being way outside of town, right? We're talking about being within, you know, inner city limits of Chicago, where, you know, where the red line goes, where the blue line can reach, where,
or especially in New York, green
lines and all that
stuff. Right, like, everything we're saying about Chicago amplify by 10 for New York, right?
Because you can get, yeah, everywhere to everywhere relatively easily there. Yeah.
So, and, you know, public transportation, like, I think some people are scared of it because they've never lived in a big city before, and it's like, it's so easy. Like, Google Maps makes it super easy to figure out. I mean, we were figuring out in foreign countries where we couldn't even speak the language. So you should be okay here, you know, and you can ask people for help here. And, you know, it's just, it's cheap. So when I was in Chicago, and I know rates have gone up, it was $86 a month to have unlimited rides. And, you know, Brett did the math, and he wasn't going downtown as much as me, so you just paid per use, right?
Yeah, and it was, I mean, I was saving $20 a month, something like that, from getting, like, the unlimited or whatever, so
yeah,
it was worth it.
Your transportation costs were $68 a month, right? Which is, and I'm harping on this only because this is such a huge money saver. That is cheaper than insuring a car in the city of Chicago and likely the city of New York.
And probably cheaper than gas if you're not in the city, right?
And cheaper than gas, and cheaper than a car payment, and cheaper than parking.
Right.
So I couldn't have even parked my car at my apartment for less than what I paid for the entire month to get everywhere I needed to go. And, you know, for us, it was when we needed a car, I did have a Zipcar subscription, which at the time, and again, rates have probably changed since then. This was quite a few years ago, but it was about $60 a year to have that, and then I paid per use on top of that.
Right, and we'd have to look at that more. I think there's competing services that are out there now. I mean, you have Uber and Lyft that didn't exist at the time that we were there, and
yeah,
that's all competing now, and all the cabs and everything. So the ecosystem has changed quite a lot.
But I am glad you brought that up. So even, like, cabs and stuff, or Lyft or Uber, like, I just wouldn't tell somebody to take that very often. That should be more like, oh, you know, it's pretty late. You know, I was at my friend's house until, like, midnight, and I just feel safer taking a, you know, an Uber home instead of taking public transportation at this hour by myself. You know, I did that a handful of times. But, you know, most of the time you're fine to take public transit instead of relying on these other services that obviously just cost more money.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was always a mental decision that I was making in the, yeah, after coming out of the bars in the middle of the night, right? For, is it worth the $12 or $15 for me to cab home, or is it worth doing, like, the 25-minute walk, right? And so, you know, the walk's good for you, for one thing. If it's nice out, if it's, like, pouring rain, I'm probably going to jump in a cab for, you know, somewhere around $10, but you just have to think about it every time. Just don't be reactionary and be like, okay, it's, you know, it's night or it's whatever, and every time I leave somewhere, I'm just going to take a cab everywhere I go.
Right. Well, and, you know, I would say plan ahead a little bit. So, you know, for me, it was like, the buses came every 5 minutes. So, you know, if I was in a super big rush, sometimes it was tempting to get a taxi, but I just had to remind myself, like, nope, just leave, like, 5 minutes early, and it's, you know, not a big deal, and I get where I need to go in the same amount of time. And one more thing I wanted to say about the car thing is, you know, some people are like, oh, but I want a car for weekend trips or whatever. Well, just price it out, because sometimes it's cheaper. Like, when we wanted to take weekend trips in the city, sometimes we would just rent a car from O'Hare Airport, because you could get really good deals on Priceline to just rent a car for 3 days and return it to the same place. And you know, we did that, and we still came out ahead.
Right, as long, I mean, you just take the blue line out to the airport, and for, what was that, like $5 to do the full ride all the way out there, plus the rental car fee, you're still coming out way ahead for what some of the inner city prices were for the zip cars at the time.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so I think we got that one covered. Just a couple more things we want to run down here, and then we will wrap this up. So another, you know, a great thing about living in a big city and a great way to save money is take advantage of all the free entertainment that is at your fingertips. You know, it's very easy to be like, oh, I'm here and I should be going to see Broadway shows all the time, right? But I think we went to one when we lived in the city.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. So,
and they're good.
You certainly see that. But it's a treat, right? It's a big event, like big night out.
You're not doing that every weekend. Right. You know, even Second City, we love comedy shows. We would go, usually we only went when we had friends in town, and we would take them there as a treat again, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of free entertainment in the city. You know, while it's fun to take your friends to Second City on the weekends, it's also fun to find, like, the Dive Comedy Club that's free on a Tuesday night.
Right.
You know, in the basement somewhere. Right.
Because it's either going to be amazing or it'll be, like, dreadfully awful but still so funny that it was awful.
Right? Yeah.
So it'll be good either way.
So, you know, there's a lot of free entertainment. And another big thing is when we live there, there's so many street festivals. Every weekend there's a different festival, from Cheeseburger Fest to Bacon Fest to Hummus Festival, right? Like, if you're a vegetarian or a carnivore, you can find something. And a lot of the times, these events don't charge a cover. They only charge for the food.
Or donations.
Or donations.
It's usually like a blocked off, like, city street or something like that. And there'll be somebody trying to look for a donation for some organization or something if you want to give something.
You know, or it might be a couple bucks to walk in. But mm-hmm. they have live music. And, you know, they're just these fun events that you can go to. You know, I know a big one when we lived in Chicago was the Air and Water Show. And it was, like, literally in our backyard. So we could just go sit in the park and, you know, watch the planes do their thing. And mm-hmm. even if we didn't go sit in the park, we could hear the planes doing their thing. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I tried to work from home one of those days. That was a... excuse me, I need to go on mute while this, like, aircraft carrier flies by my apartment, like, 30 feet away.
Yeah. But there's a lot of, you know, free things in the city. So seek those out. Don't always think that you have to spend, you know, the $20 to go up in Willis Tower and stand on the, you know, floating ledge. Like, you can do a lot of other really cool stuff in the city when you live there that doesn't cost money. And just, you know, to piggyback on that, even when you want to go to things, you know, like, I loved the Art Institute of Chicago. That's just a wonderful collection. But they have free admission days once in a while. So when you live there, just look ahead and plan ahead and be like, okay, I'm going to go and it's free instead of when I have to pay admission, you know? And so you can save a lot of money by doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with the aquariums and stuff, through work, I got tickets a couple times and we got to go. So there's always ways to get things, it seems like, for a city.
There's really cool programs, too. I think when I was there, there was, like, this, like, free movie sign-up thing you could do where you could get pre-screenings of, like, movies that hadn't been released yet or weren't going to be released for a couple of months. And it's a free thing to do. And, like, every once in a while, they'll send you, like, hey, you're eligible to go see, like, this new movie coming out in 2 weeks, and it's not totally finished yet, but, like, the majority of it is, and, you know, we want to get your feedback about it. And so it's, like, free tickets to go to this movie at this time at this theater, and, like, you can choose to go or not, right? So sign up for it, and I did that a couple times, and I saw a couple, like, really good movies. They weren't just, like, weird movies. They were, like, really good.
Yeah.
Blockbuster movies that they were just, like, trying to get feedback on before it was fully released to the public.
Well, and I know another cool thing I did one time was there was a pop-up art exhibit. And, you know, we just got to walk around this really cool exhibit, and it was all free. And then if you wanted to buy anything, it cost money. But the artwork was so cool that I did end up buying a piece. And it was, like, cheaper than buying artwork, you know, elsewhere. And I was supporting the artist directly, and I got, like, a really fun night out of it. So, you know, living in big cities, there's so many cool things like that, whether it's movies or art or books or whatever you're interested in. Like, there's always really cool stuff going on. So don't be afraid to try to find that type of stuff. But, all right. Well, do you have anything else to add?
I think we covered a lot. I think there's a lot of other options as well. Maybe the things that we weren't hitting on today, but I mean that we hit all the big ones certainly, and then a couple of the small ones as well. So if you guys that live in a bigger city have any additional tips and tricks for what has worked for you, we would love to hear that as well. And maybe we'll do a round two of big city living, you know?
Yeah. Make me more nostalgic to move back. All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. You know, I don't try to harass too much, but if you could leave a review on iTunes, we would really, really appreciate that. And if you want to contact me to, you know, let me know any other things we missed about big city living or ask any other questions in general, I will drop the contact information in. Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Money in the Bank. Make sure to subscribe to us on the iTunes or Stitcher app so that you get weekly alerts every time we post a podcast. Or if you want, you can visit my website, moneyinthebankpodcast.com. And if you want to reach out with any questions or further comments, please email me at angie@moneyinthebankpodcast.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Money in the Bank.